because of the rise of occult activity and younger generations leaving the church and embracing false ideologies, demonic possession, though rare, has increased substantially over the last two decades. Until about 20 years ago, there would be one to two cases every 10 years in the United States. Now, there are two to four cases in every major city at any given time. As a result, the Vatican announced that every diocese should have an exorcist. The United States went from having one or two exorcists to over 100 in a very short period of time. Demonic possession is when demons have the right, usually given by the individual, to control the person's body, animate and talk through it, etc. Demonic possession, though on the rise, is still rare. Most demonic problems are infestation, oppression, and obsession, and require deliverance. Possession requires solemn exorcism. Deliverance is, O God, please help. Exorcism is, in the name of Jesus, I command you. Anyone can do deliverance prayers. Exorcism should only be done by the bishop or priest who has been given permission by the bishop. Before the 1960s, the average time it took to liberate a person was approximately 2 weeks. Since the 1960s, the average time it takes to liberate someone is 6 months to 2 years. Wonder what could have happened in the 1960s that might have caused that. Now you might say, but in the Bible it was instantaneous. Jesus or the apostles would command the demons to leave and they left. That still happens in areas of the world where the gospel is being preached for the first time. But here in the West, where the gospel was preached a long time ago and everyone knows about Jesus, it is more of a rejection of Christ when someone gets possessed. And that seems to give the demons more of a right to be there. As our society moves further and further away from the true faith and embraces the gods of our ancestors, demonic activity rises accordingly. For the Psalm says, all the gods of the Gentiles are devils. Another reason it takes so long is demonic possession is like an abusive relationship. Think of a battered woman. What happens? The guy smacks her around, she calls the police, but before the police get there, he makes a bunch of promises, and when the authority that can take the man away and remove him gets there, she says no, or she goes and bails him out. A week later, he's back in, and nothing's changed. Well, it's the same with possession. So if someone gets possessed, why can't any Christian perform an exorcism? Christ gave this authority to the apostles, Luke 9:1, and he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. That authority passed to the bishops of the church, not all Christians. Now you might say, yes, but in Mark 9:38 we read, John said to him, Teacher, we saw a man casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he was not following us. But Jesus said, Do not forbid him, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon after to speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is for us. Protestants and even other religions have limited success exorcising demons, about 30 to 40%. But when they are dealing with very serious cases or high-level demons, they often come to the Catholic Church for help. It can be dangerous to try and exorcise demons, Acts 19:13. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to pronounce the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I adjure you by the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. Seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this. But the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, mastered all of them, and overpowered them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. When you command demons to leave, you consent to a battle with the demon. When the church does it, they are doing it with the authority that Christ gave them, so they have protection. A layperson does not have that protection. Cases of possession have come from people trying to cast out demons from possessed people. We have authority to cast out demons in our own lives and the lives of those who we have authority, like our children. We can use a more commanding language in those circumstances, for instance, saying, In the name of Jesus, I bind you, spirit of lust, greed, envy, whatever you're dealing with, and send you to the foot of the cross to receive your sentence, but not in the lives of others. That's for the church to deal with. Some people do have a natural gift. Saint Benedict is the patron saint of exorcists, and he wasn't a priest, he was a monk. Exorcists would bring possessed people to him that they were having trouble liberating. He would cast the remaining demons out with one prayer. This was also true for St. Catherine of Siena. So no, the Catholic Church does not have a monopoly on exorcism. However, it is better to just let the Catholic Church take care of possession. How does the Church know when someone is possessed? How do they know it's not just mental illness? First of all, the Church requires a person to be evaluated by a psychological professional. It is not this professional's job to say whether or not the person is possessed, but whether or not the condition can be explained by a mental condition. Beyond that, there are four criteria to determine if a person is possessed. These criteria cannot be explained by mental illness or any other natural explanation. The person must demonstrate at least one of these criteria. The four criteria for possession are, number one, knowledge of languages previously unknown. This is not glossolalia, which is a real psychological phenomenon where a person disassociates their mind from the vocal areas of the brain and speaks gibberish for varying lengths of time. What the Church looks for here is when someone can speak languages they should not be able to speak. Obviously, a person's educational background is looked into. For instance, if a person studied in Israel and is speaking Aramaic, that's one thing. But if they are from the United States and have a public high school education and that's it, yet they are speaking fluent German, Russian, Italian, and Lithuanian, that's something else. There have also been cases of people speaking obscure languages that have been dead for hundreds or thousands of years, and the Church has to get a linguistic expert involved. For instance, there was a case of a man speaking a form of Icelandic that hadn't been used in 600 years. This is when a person displays extraordinary strength beyond their ability for long periods of time, longer than an adrenaline rush that can give a person massive strength for a few minutes. This can be someone picking up heavy furniture and throwing it around the room, a little old lady throwing 300-pound men across the room, or multiple people unable to move, an average or small-sized person. A person will know things they shouldn't know. They will be able to tell a person whom they've just met details about their life, or have knowledge of events happening in a far-off place, or know what someone has in their pocket, like a relic of a saint. This is one reason those involved in the exorcism will go to confession first. Sins that have been confessed and absolved by a priest in the confessional cannot be brought up by the demons. Since they have an aversion to the holy, they can tell when a host has been consecrated or not, if water or sacramental has been blessed or not. So if you show them five hosts and one of them has been consecrated, they will say, "Keep that one away from me," and then accurately point out the consecrated host. The Catholic Church will help anyone. You don't have to be Catholic, but the person will be evaluated, so that doesn't mean everyone who thinks they're possessed is and will get an exorcism. People think that the Church comes in, waves a magic wand, gets rid of the demons, and then they can go back to living their life the way they used to. That's not the case. Something about how they were living their life allowed the possession in the first place. So these people have to do work and change their lives. They have to become more holy, which is why God allows this, so that the people will stop sinning and get their life in order so they can be saved. Whatever caused the possession, whether it's witchcraft, Satanism, dabbling in the occult, or whatever, has to go away and the person can never return to it or the demons will come back. Exorcisms are done at a church, chapel, etc. The church will determine where Satan will receive his defeat. They are not done in the person's home or an abandoned house at night during a thunderstorm. Also, it's never just one demon, but many demons, unless it's very early on. A person will be possessed by several low-level demons, a few middle-level demons, and one high-level demon who's in charge of the case. Once he's gone, Satan may or may not come to fight for the possession. Damned souls can be used by the demons in possession. They do this to delay their expulsion. In other words, they'll say, "You have to deal with this damned soul before you can get to me." Exorcists have repeatedly ran into Judas Iscariot. Yes, Judas Iscariot is in hell. I personally never understood why people questioned that. Our Lord himself told us he would be, Matthew 26:24. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had never been born. Judas, who betrayed him, said, "Is it I, Master?" He said to him, "You have said so." And John 17:12, speaking of the apostles, Jesus says, "While I was with them, I kept them in thy name. which thou hast given me. I have guarded them, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." In every case of possession, Jesus determines what the demons can and cannot do, even whether or not they can possess a person. Satan and his demons can do nothing without God's permission. Read the book of Job. Satan had to ask God in order to afflict Job, and God set the parameters, Job 6:12. "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only upon himself do not put forth your hand." The Virgin Mary is often the one who comes in the inn and kicks the demons out. The possessed person will see her do it. Catholics and non-Catholic Christians will recognize that this is the Virgin Mary, but even non-Christians and people from cultures not familiar with Christianity will say that a beautiful woman came in and told the demons to leave, and they left. When asked to describe the woman, they will describe a known image of Our Lady, such as Our Lady of Lourdes, Guadalupe, or Fatima. So in the end, our Lord sends his mother to crush the head of the serpent. Until my next video, God bless.